Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 3:02 on Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Just real quickly, I'm going to be leaving tomorrow morning for the Organization of MISO States annual meeting in New Orleans, and there's a great agenda for this meeting, and I'm excited to be leading a panel on seams as it relates to these transmission organizations are the boundaries between the two seams where electricity still has to pass, but there's market constructs that create some challenges there. So it's one of those really technical issues, but it has a huge impact on customers. And North Dakota is one of the most seams impacted states because we have both RTOs here, SPP and MISO, and our utilities are kind of half and half working through those. Most of the co-ops with Basin are in SPP, and the Autotel, XL, and MDU are all in MISO. So it's one of those very complicated topics, but we're working hard to break it down and to bring together the various forces between the two RTOs that impact North Dakota to try to come up with real solutions on the seams. So I'm very much looking forward to that discussion and the conference as a whole.
Commissioner Christman?
I'll just say that from the SPP perspective, you're right, it is very important work. You can't overstate the importance of it. And so I wish you well with that, and be careful of large hotel construction projects in New Orleans.
We're on that street. We're like three blocks from that hotel. Oof. I know.
All right. We have 19 items on consent and the previous minutes. I move they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, thank you. Moving into the regular agenda, my first item, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission, Carstensen Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-305, and in Public Service Commission, Carsten Contracting Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-19-210.
Second.
On August 14th, 2018, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from One Oak Rockies Midstream alleging that Carstensen Contracting had violated Century Code Section 49-23-05, subset 5, and that is in case number PU-18-305. And on August 15th, 2018, the commission sent a letter to Carstensen enclosing the North Dakota One Call complaint. And we did receive also another North Dakota One Call complaint from One Oak alleging a violation by Carstensen of North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23-04, subset 1, and that is in case number PU-19-210. The commission sent a letter to Carstensen on that complaint as well. And on June 26th, 2019, Carstensen filed a response. And on July 29th, filed a supplemental response in case number PU-19-210. On September 12th, the consent agreement between staff and Carstensen was filed for resolution of the North Dakota One Call complaint in both cases. And essentially what happened on the first case, 18-305, the violation was that Carstensen failed to conduct excavation in a careful and prudent manner, and that is a requirement of Century Code, and that they hid an underground facility in the process. It was an abandoned underground facility, but nonetheless they did hit that. And then on the other complaint, they violated North Dakota Century Code. It was alleged that they violated North Dakota Century Code by failing to conduct or to contact the notification center and provide an excavation or location notice before beginning an excavation. During that excavation, Carstensen struck an underground facility as well, causing an unspecified amount of damage. They did indicate, did not indicate that the excavation led to any injuries. And having investigated both cases, staff concluded that Carstensen violated North Dakota Century Code. A consent agreement between staff and Carstensen was reached. And as a part of that, Carstensen had a violation back on May 31st of 2017. $5,000 of that fine was suspended, provided that Carstensen did not violate Century Code within the next 5 years. Obviously, 2 years or a year later, they did violate Century Code, the one call excavation law. And as a result, Carstensen will have to remit the $5,000 that was conditionally suspended by the Public Service Commission. They will also remit $2,600 in case number PU-18-305. And they will also have to pay another $500 in case number PU-19-210. So if you add the three together, the $2,600, the $500, and then the $5,000 that was previously suspended, the total amount that Carstensen Contracting will have to pay is $8,100. And again, that, as I explained for the various reasons, so there are three parts to this, two complaints, more current complaints, and then the suspended amount would be the third chunk of money. And this... that money would be payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of service of this order. And I could go into more details in terms of exactly what happened. But just in general, and I'll start with the easier one. In the second case, they were in that vicinity already. They had gotten a locate for the area that they were working in, but as long as they had equipment there and they thought, well, we're very close to the next line that we need to run. So they moved beyond their locate area and as a result failed to call for a one-call ticket on the new area that they ventured into. The second one, the line bowed. My understanding is that they did place offset markings, which is common. A line is marked, and then our facilities are marked, and then a company going in to do work will oftentimes scrape the black dirt off of the top, removing the markings, but they'll place offset markings to the side so they can then reestablish the original marking. If they can't do that, they do have to call and then request that the lines be remarked. And in this case, either the measurements were wrong and or the more bulletproof method, if you will, or a sure way to know where the facility is to have the lines remarked. But that didn't occur, and then they hit the facility. So it's a fine that I hope sends a message that this is important to follow the one-call law and that we just don't want people to get hurt. And, of course, we don't want facilities to be damaged out in the field as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just will point out that if we've collected on one of these suspended penalties in the past, I'm not thinking of it right now, but over the years, you know, it kind of started with Industrial Commission stuff, and I've been supportive of some of these cases when we have issued a suspended penalty or a partially suspended penalty. It seems to me like in the case of something that might be a one-off, it's a nice way to not really penalize that company, but just in case it's not just a one-off, they've got an additional thing hanging over their head, and one would presume extra caution. And we've had either none before this or so few come back. I think suspended penalties have generally worked very well, but for some skeptics who have thought that it's just slap on the wrist kind of thing and nothing ever happens. Here's an example of that it does, in fact, happen. And if they continue to violate, these penalties become very substantial. So I feel good about our program, and I think this highlights the effectiveness of it.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, the next item, I move the Commission adopt the Order on Consent Agreement and Public Service Commission, Oakland Construction Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, Case Number PU-19-219.
Second.
On July 3rd, 2019, the Commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation by Oakland Construction of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23. And that is the one-call excavation notice system. The commission followed up with by sending a letter to Oakland enclosing the complaint, and Oakland filed a response to the complaint 2 weeks after receiving it. On September 24th, 2019, a consent agreement between Public Service Commission advocacy staff and Oakland was filed for the resolution of the complaint. And in this particular complaint, Kinder Morgan alleges a violation by Oakland for failure to provide excavation or location notice at least 48 hours before beginning an excavation. The complaint indicated that for an excavation project to install a fiber optic line, the contractor, again, failed to contact the one-call notification center to request underground facility locates. No damage occurred as a result of this particular instance. And in terms of Oakland, a little bit of a contrast. We had spoken, or I'd spoken about Carstensen, which obviously was a repeat offender, a large operator, but nonetheless a repeat offender. Oakland, this is the first time that we have on record that they violated North Dakota Century Code. They were very cooperative in the process, and as staff told me, good to work with, and acknowledged that they had made a mistake. And they also had a ticket for an adjacent area. Nonetheless, it's important for companies, obviously, to understand the one-call law, understanding the ramifications for violating the law, which go beyond civil penalties that can be imposed on them. And it really goes back to safety and then not interrupting service, for example, as well to critical facilities or to homeowners for that matter. So a lot of things can happen out there. You never know what is below, so to speak. And it just underscores the importance of always making sure you know the area that you're digging, making sure that you have the proper locates in place, maintaining those markings throughout the process, and being safe out in the field. As a result of this infraction, Oakland is assessed a civil penalty of $500 with $250 suspended on condition that they commit no further violations of North Dakota one-call law within 5 years after the date of this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery, Tariff and Rates, Case Number PU-19-285.
Second.
Okay, I'm going to preface this with it probably seems somewhat innocuous in terms of an order. And I told staff earlier, I think it's in terms of what is on my the items on the regular agenda for myself, I think this is would be the big story, if you will, and I'll explain why a 25-cent change in rate is so important. But getting to this particular case first, on July 19th, or the specifics, 2019 MDU filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment rates to reflect updated electric transmission revenues and costs under tariff rate 59. On August 21st, 2019, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until September 30th, 2019, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received. MDU requests updated transmission cost adjustment rates to reflect projected revenue requirements associated with six new transmission projects, along with the projected costs and revenues of transmission services provided by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator and Southwest Power Pool. We heard about those just a little bit earlier during opening remarks. For residential customers, the rate change requested is an increase of approximately 25 cents per month. And the order as written would be to approve the rates. The rate change. And here's why this particular item is so important. And we've heard a lot about what happened out in California with the power being shut down, the PG&E situation. That was done as a precautionary measure, granted that PG&E decided to shut the lines down because of forecasted high winds. But they have an infrastructure problem, in my opinion, in that part of the world where infrastructure has not been, the reinvestments have not been made. And as a result, when you get high winds, which we're certainly familiar with in North Dakota, it could cause their lines to spark. And that did occur in the past. A number of wildfires occurred as a result. So it's really important that we continue to make good decisions that allow companies to make infrastructure improvements and to have the capital necessary. Nobody likes to see their utility rate go up, but it doesn't work if power generated at a facility, at a generating plant, doesn't make its way to the meter and ultimately to homes, to businesses, to hospitals, to critical services. And so you can have some of the lowest rates in the country, which North Dakota does. North Dakota has very low utility rates and energy rates, but the power has to get to where it's intended to go. So case in point in terms of, well, how does North Dakota stack up in terms of reliability? North Dakota is the third most reliable state in the nation in terms of delivering power to the homes, to the businesses, to the end user in an uninterrupted fashion. And only two states do better than North Dakota. One is Arizona, the other is Rhode Island, but North Dakota ranks third best in terms of reliability. And that takes a balance of making the appropriate investments in infrastructure and also maintaining low-cost pricing as well in terms of utility bills. So I think this is a very good balance. And again, power to customers 24/7. We have a variety of weather extremes that we experience, from high winds to frigid temps to at times oppressive summer heat. So we kind of get it all. And I think it's a very good plan. I think the utility, MDU, did a very good job in laying out their case. And again, just to wrap this up, this will help replace aging infrastructure and to make improvements to existing infrastructure. So I plan to support this motion. And while you may think, again, that 25 cents per month would not generate a lot of conversation, making these small incremental moves along the way and staying on top of it is just so incredibly important. So this is a good thing, in my opinion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
This is an example, just to kind of further elaborate, of the cumulative costs that the MDU customers are paying for their participation in the RTOs. And It's an ongoing piece of their rate that is kind of charged separately, which does get a little bit confusing sometimes because the generation is charged in one area and that you've got the transmission impact as well. But over and over again, we hear and look at the cost benefits of belonging to these regional transmission organizations, and the costs or the benefits far outweigh the costs. And so I think that this is just an example of how those come to fruition on the customer's bill.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Environmental Cost Recovery Charge, ECRC rates, case number PU-19-292.
Second.
On August 1st, 2019, Otter Tail Power Company filed its annual update to its environmental cost recovery charge. On August 21st, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. We provided until September 30th, 2019 for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received. Otter Tail reports no projects remain in the ECRC account and proposes to zero the ECRC account balance out. To accomplish this, they will increase the ECRC rate, which is now showing up as a credit on customer bills, of 0.310% to 0% effective November 1st, 2019, and then also transfer the remaining ECRC tracker account balance to its renewable resource adjustment rider tracker account. So there's going to be a 24-cent increase on one side, which, and I almost, and it's I almost hate to say increase because what it's doing is it's going from a credit on a customer bill to zero, but then that money, the balance, which is approximately $498,000, that will be moving then to the renewable resource rider. So the net effect to a customer is essentially zero. The two wash each other out. And this balance occurred because there was over-collection during the last rate case with Otter Tail Power and also because of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. So it was a balance had built up, and now this has been taking place for approximately 1 year in terms of that small credit that customers were seeing on their bills. So it's certainly not an overall rate increase, but it's rebalancing, and it's more appropriately assigning these balances to the areas that they should be. And again, it's a net impact of zero, so it's a comparable offset.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my next item, I move the commission acknowledge the September 30th, 2019 electronic submittal of the 2020 Gas Pipeline Safety Program base grant application in the amount of $362,333 in Public Service Commission 2020 federal and state gas pipeline safety grants and contracts, case number GS-19-327.
Second.
Okay, this is for an act. This is actually for the 2020 calendar year, and this helps to support the program overall, including the two gas pipeline safety inspectors that we have out in the field, as well as some indirect cost reimbursement. It also helps to support the two vehicles, the state vehicles that these individuals use, as well as rent that we are charged for their office space here at the Capitol. This is for the intrastate natural gas system or infrastructure, which includes transmission, distribution, and some jurisdictional gathering in the oil patch as well. In 2018, just as a point of reference, we incurred $297,000 approximately in costs. and we've received $214,000 in reimbursement at a rate of approximately 72%. Federal funding, from what we've been told, this was indicated about a month ago to us, or we were told about a month ago, that it's looking more like a 50-50 split between federal funding and then what we'll have to make up on the state side to continue to support the program. But it's a very important program, needless to say, and this is, again, for the 2020 reimbursement request, the grant application.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and my final item, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Electric Service Agreement, North Dakota OMB, approval, case number PU-19-332.
Second.
On October 1st, 2019, MDU filed an application for approval of an electric service agreement with the State of North Dakota Office of Management and Budget, which is essentially the Capitol and the grounds. The agreement provides that the state capitol would continue to take electric service from MDU under its interruptible large power demand response rate 39, while MDU would continue to purchase the installed generating capacity of the capitol's generator, or I should say generating units, and any excess energy generated by the capitol during service interruptions. The issue to be considered in this matter is whether the electronic service agreement should be approved. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their request in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by December 3rd, 2019. And for more information, you can contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol at 701-328-2400. So yes, this is for the electric service that we receive here at the Capitol. And the reason it's interruptible, and I alluded to this, we have generating units on the Capitol grounds, diesel generating units, and it's four or five, I believe, something to that effect. And interestingly enough, that is what, when they were installed at that, at the time that they were able to generate the power that would be needed to run the Capitol. So met approximately the required load at the time. Due to efficiencies over the course of time, energy efficiency initiatives here at the Capitol, that load has been reduced by approximately half. So if the generators are fired up, half of the power would be required to continue operations here, but the other half then would make its way back out to the market. So just a point of reference, or I think something worth noting, that the state has done a good job in terms of reducing energy demand within the facility over the course of time. And oftentimes government, I think fairly in some instances, is picked on for not being efficient. But this is a case where true efficiency has been realized over time.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, and that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Brian. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Emmons Logan Wind E. Logan Interconnection LLC transfer quarter certificate route permit citing application case number PU-19-333.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. In last February of 2019, we issued a certificate for construction of a 230 kV electric transmission line just about 7 miles in Emmons County to be part of or connect the Emmons Logan Wind facility to the grid. This motion is a request by the company to transfer that certificate, the route permit, and the quarter certificate to a different company, Emmons Logan Interconnection LLC. If anyone has issues with this request, the comments and requests for hearing must be received by November 22nd.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. The next one is similar. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Ashtabula Wind, LLC. Ashtabula Wind 1, LLC, transfer site certificate case number PU-19-336.
Second.
So we originally issued this certificate to Ashtabula Wind in 2008 for the Ashtabula Wind Energy Center, consisting of 133 wind turbine generators with up to 200 megawatts of generating capacity in Barnes County. They are now coming to us and asking to have that certificate transferred from Ashtabula Wind LLC to Ashtabula Wind 1 LLC. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by November 22nd.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Christman.
Hey, RC1, I move the commission adopt the Federal Office of Surface Mining's 2019 evaluation reports for the Coal Regulatory and Abandoned Mine Lands programs.
Second.
So OSM recently issued their evaluation reports for the Coal Regulatory and AML programs for the year that ended June 30th of this year. No issues or concerns were raised in either report. Very happy to say that. And OSM continues to report that the commission has effective and efficient coal regulatory and AML programs. I'm going to give you four excerpts from the regulatory program side of it. This is from OSM doing an evaluation on our program. First, North Dakota's regulatory program is handled by a relatively small number of staff considering the amount of land mined and reclaimed each year. A second excerpt. The Reclamation Division carries out its duties using the appropriate technical expertise and a high level of professionalism. A third one. The Reclamation Division uses new technology to become more efficient and make information more readily available to the public. The PSC has the necessary technical expertise for carrying out its functions to ensure that all of the requirements of SMACRA are met, SMACRA being the Surface Mining Coal Reclamation Act, the federal legislation that oversees this. And the last excerpt from the regulatory program, based on the topics evaluated this year, North Dakota has an effective program with no issues that need corrective action. North Dakota PSC actively pursues public participation and outreach efforts. PSC employees demonstrate an appropriate level of technical expertise and take advantage of training opportunities. They also make use of the latest tools and technology. Now I want to highlight three excerpts from the Abandoned Mineland Program Evaluation Report. First one, North Dakota PSC continues to administrate an efficient and successful AML program. Since the program's inception, the AML division has conducted over 168 primary reclamation projects, 33 emergency projects, and numerous construction, maintenance, and sinkhole filling projects at a total cost of over $55.9 million of federal funds. Almost 36.5 miles of dangerous surface mine pits and high walls and over 1,360 acres of underground mine subsidences have been reclaimed. These projects have reduced the likelihood of death or injury to property owners and the public. A second excerpt, North Dakota's regulatory program is handled by a relatively small number of staff considering the amount of land mined and reclaimed each year. That's kind of the exact same thing as they said about our reclamation program, so I think we can feel very proud of that. And the last excerpt I wanted to highlight on the AML program is the North Dakota PSC maintains a very cost-effective program with only 14% of the grant dedicated to administrative costs. The remainder of the grant is spent on project design and construction. really kudos to the people that work in both of these programs. These are, there's like basically the audits from the federal oversight agency of these programs, and they have no corrective actions. I mean, how often does that happen? Except the answer to that question is, in this case, year after year in North Dakota. And I just continue to be very proud of it. On the reclamation side, we've seen another example that I wanted to highlight yesterday of working diligently, putting in extra hours to get a requirement fulfilled at the last possible hour, despite a lot of obstacles that came up in the way. So just kudos and thank you to everybody that works in these two divisions.
I would just want to echo that. Dean, take the compliments up to your team. They do a fabulous job. And I think it's important to note that our standards are higher than the federal standards. So North Dakota's coal reclamation program is really a model for the entire country. And it's something that the industry should be proud of. And the state regulatory team should also be proud of. It's a really strong partnership. And I think that's why it's so effective. And just to illustrate this, I recently was at a meeting with commissioners from across the country, one of whom is from Missouri and not a big fan of coal mining. And he had been to North Dakota for the MARC meeting and was talking about the mine tour that he went on, because we had various tours that we each hosted. And he said, you know, I was extremely impressed with the mining that occurs in North Dakota and how it's done, to the point where I was actually kind of disappointed because it defied his impression and his image of what coal mining is. And so I think that was really high praise from the opposition, if you will, and really speaks to the standards that you and your team hold the companies to, and the companies and their best management practices as well. So great job.
Well, I also want to say kudos to staff and just doing a fantastic job, you know, day in and day out. And you know, to repeat what you just heard, North Dakota has an outstanding record when it comes to reclamation, and it is an example for other states, and not just other states, but countries around the world, in terms of how to restore the land after you've extracted the resource, and to do it in a responsible manner. So the role that industry plays in this, I also want to note that as well. They help support this program through fees collected on a per-ton basis for the coal that they mine. And how often do you hear about industry putting funds or supporting funds that then correct deficiencies, help restore land that wasn't taken care of at the time that they had nothing to do with? So this is something that they pay into to correct mistakes of yesteryear, if you will, that they had absolutely nothing to do with. So just another, I think, point in terms of what we can be proud of in terms of North Dakota industry. And I did see one thing on a different note last week, as a part of a national committee that I'm on through NARUC, Carbon Capture and Utilization Committee, Clean Coal Technology Committee. It has a lot of different names. We're kind of working through that. But actually went to a mining operation in the Appalachian Mountains, and we went underground. So you try not to think of the fact that you're 2,000 feet down, and pretty soon it's getting smaller and smaller. And you know, for someone who's a little claustrophobic, it occurred to me at one point in time. But no, it's but they do a very nice job out there as well. But it's just a massive undertaking to reclaim these facilities, the pits that reside just north of here. And hats off to staff for making sure it's done right, and hats off to industry for the work they do.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Yes, there is, because I forgot one thing. I kind of emphasized it when I was reading some of those excerpts, but then I wanted to wrap this up. I tried to emphasize when training and technology were mentioned, and it was numerous times throughout just those few excerpts, and there's more that I didn't read. Sometimes it's been kind of implied that state government doesn't make use of things and that we're way behind the times. But the fact of the matter is, not only our AML and reclamation divisions, but the fact that we have our own IT staff and the fact that our people have stayed up to date, taken advantage of training opportunities, and adopted the latest and greatest technology is really emphasized in this evaluation. And I think it's something that we need to highlight to demonstrate that we are, in fact, and have been for some time, ahead of the game in adopting technology and taking advantage of training opportunities.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, RC2, I move. Now we'll wrap up a few of the cases that are future examples for their next evaluation program. I move the commission close out contract number AM-811-19 with Agapito Associates Incorporated for completion of drilling services for the 2019 Exploratory Drilling Project, AML Project.
Second.
On April 11th of this year, we entered into a contract with Agapito Associates for drilling services. This project involved drilling to locate underground mine voids near structures in Williams County. James Thornburg, Chris Brown, and Joan Briner supervised the project. The original project was in the amount of just under $367,000. There were three change orders written to expand the project, and I want to emphasize that we have a PSC policy allowing staff to implement change orders up to a certain amount. On these larger ones, it's up to the lesser of 5% or $50,000. This got to be more, and our commission itself approved a change order on June 21st. So the final cost of the contract, because they just were finding so many more voids, especially in that Williams County area, but actually in both, final cost of the contract was $517,475, which is 141% of the original contract amount. I will emphasize that the next three wrap-ups came in under, so I hopefully that alleviates some of the alarm that the 141% of original price might cause. Final payment in this case has been made, and we've received the certification of payment.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the commission closeout contract number AM-817-19 with Logan Valley Incorporated for completion of construction services for the 2019 Morton County Phase 2 AML project.
Second.
On June 12th of this year, we entered into a contract with Logan Valley for construction services for the 2019 Morton County Phase 2 AML project. The project involved reclaiming five abandoned surface coal mines. James Thornburg, Sean Nixon teamed up to supervise this project. The original contract with Logan Valley was in the amount of $314,071. I believe this was the case where they were awarded the bid over about $30 or $35. It was a real competitive bid. One change order was issued to increase the length of silt fencing that was installed in the field and extend the performance period. Despite that increase, the final cost of the contract was $276,451, which is just 88% of the original contract amount. So final payment has been made, and we have received the certification of payment.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the commission close out contract number AM-813-19 with Material Testing Services, LLC, for completion of material testing services for the 2019 Williams County Road 9 Phase 7 and Noonan AML project.
Second.
On June 12th, we entered into a contract with Material Testing Services, LLC, for the services for these two projects. Chris Brown, James Thornburg, and Joan Briner supervised the project. The original contract with material testing was in the amount of $38,400. The final cost was just $23,566, or 61.37% of the original contract. The Noonan portion of the contract, though, I want to emphasize, was not completed. And there's a couple reasons. I mentioned the earlier additional drilling that was done. We found those things and tried to take care of them. That delayed a little bit getting to the Noonan, especially the grouting part of it. And then the combination of the delay and the fact that the Noonan project is on game and fish land. And they have some kind of unique requirements, and one of them is an early completion date. And I don't know if that just involves hunting or it has to do with nesting or something like that, but it just is what it is. It's their requirement and it's their land. And so we recognize that it couldn't be completed and suspended the project for the year, but I hope that we can continue it next year again.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And finally, RC5, I move the commission close out contract number AM-812-19 with BNC Concrete Pumping Incorporated for completion of drilling and grout services for the 2019 Williams County Road 9 Phase 7 and Noonan AML project.
Second.
On June 12th, we entered into the contract with BNC Concrete Pumping for this drilling and grouting services, both in Williams County and up at Noonan. Chris Brown, James Thornburg, and Joan Briner supervised the project. The original contract was in the amount of $1,694,300. Termination of the contract by a mutual agreement amendment to the contract was executed by both parties to end the contract after completing work at Williston and the drilling portion at Noonan. I explained that in the last motion. The final cost of the contract was under $1,077,000, which is about 63.5% of the original amount. Two change orders were issued to increase the amount of drilling and casing and to compensate for additional gravel and cleanup costs down in that Williams County part. The final invoices and certification of payment have been received.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
My portfolio is completed, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Okay, in terms of announcements, we have a 1:30 informal hearing today with MDU Resources for electric service agreements. One would be for American Colloid Company, and the other, as mentioned, would be the North Dakota Office of Management and Budget, the OMB contract. On Wednesday, October 30th at 10 a.m., we have the Supreme Court oral argument. That's for Minn Kota Ag Products, and that will be at the UND School of Law in Grand Forks. On Thursday, November 7th, there is another regular commission meeting. That will be at 10 o'clock, and then at 1:30, we do have an informal hearing with Mid-Continent Communications. That would be case numbers PU-16-48 and 17-50, and they're both designated eligible carrier applications. We will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, followed by a short break, and then we'll move to the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.